Wednesday, July 10th, Planning Zoning Commission meeting to order. I am Richard Vineyard, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt is absent, and Goins?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any questions or amendments for the Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, June 12, 2024? Nothing? All right. May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, June 12, 2024, Planning Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
All right. Minutes are approved. Are there any citizens' comments from the public tonight regarding any topic not on tonight's agenda? All right, seeing as there are none, no comments from the public, we will move on to the next agenda item. So there is one public hearing scheduled for tonight's Planning Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of these hearings is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding proposed requests that are being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against requests or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding their request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name, who you represent. You're also asked to sign at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Stephen Holland.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
Is the truth.
Is the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth. Thank you. You guys can be seated. All right, so the order for receiving testimony during the public hearing will be as follows. The petitioner's presentation, followed by those who wish to speak in favor of the request, and then those who wish to speak in opposition of the request. So may I have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2024-12, 102 Worsley Street, requesting rezoning, classification, and variance.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Okay. So the public hearing up for tonight's discussion is as follows. PZC 2024-12, 102 Worsley Street, Steve Holland, petitioner, contract purchaser, and KCJ Restoration LLC owners, has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting rezoning classification. The real property is generally located south of East Main Street, immediately east of Worsley Street, and north of the Fox River in Yorkville, Illinois. The petitioner is requesting rezoning approval from R1 Single Family Suburban Residential District to R2 Single Family Traditional Residence District, consisting of approximately 0.28 acres, commonly known as 102 Worsley Street. Additionally, the petitioner is requesting to decrease the minimum lot size for the R2 Single Family Traditional Residence District to less than the required 12,000 square feet. Are you prepared to present?
Sure. Hello, my name is Steve Holland, and I am asking to rezone the property. The property is, Sarah, you going to bring it up? The property's been deserted for almost 20 years. There's been a house that's torn down. There was a garage that I recently torn down. Absolutely unsafe. I bumped into it. It was shaken. I didn't want it falling on someone. My intentions are to excavate the property and put a container home on it. Seven bedroom, seven bath home on it, so it'll be a beautiful place. As you see, thank you, Sarah. Can I walk over there?
Yeah, sorry.
I'll take the microphone with you so people can hear you as you talk.
As you see, the property is off of Gwen Lane. Next to it is Worsley Street, which I would love to get annexed if the village would let me. And then to the right of it, one of my neighbors is here today. Hello, Dallas. And to the left of it, Dave wanted to be here in support of what we're doing, but he's out of town. Currently, this property here, I'll just call it Dave, his setback off the street is 11 feet. And then to the right, Peter, his setback is about 9.5 feet off the street. Right there. That being said, we're required to go 30 feet off of the street. We were asking that we have some sort of variance there. We think it's kind of extreme. After all, this house is up here, the next house is up here, and we're going to be pushed back. And that being said, we're asking to rezone the property because I believe, in my opinion, it was zoned inappropriately. I mean, as you state, the lot is only 10,000 square feet, and it should have been zoned R1 from the start. Anything else? Any questions? Did I do everything right? Did I answer all my questions?
You did fine.
So this is my first time doing this, so.
You did fine. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Do you wish to speak tonight?
Yes.
In favor of the request?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition of the request?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have to over here for my what is the zone now?
Right now, the zoning is R1 Single Family Suburban Residence District, and Steve Holland is looking to rezone the property to R2 Single Family Traditional Residence District.
Okay, R2 is like two flat?
It's typically a single family home, so it can be more than a two flat, as long as it meets the requirements of a single family. Instead of a multi-family.
Okay. I don't think we really need a seven-bedroom house on a tiny lot like that. 11 feet away from my property. I just saw it on the plan we had up there. Steve is a contractor, and he says he's going to live there. But contractors buy lots, build houses, and move on. He's got two other lots that he can build houses on. Maybe he should build one house on each lot. We've already, the lots up the hill has already been changed by the neighbors. We've all said no problem from one house being on that whole area to two. We didn't have a problem with that. With building this McMansion right next to me, I don't care. And in the past, when the house was still there, less than 20 years ago, the lady that owned it rented it out because she got married and moved to Michigan. And she had some tenants in there that had a family of six, which is no problem, except that they rented out rooms, and eventually there were 14 people living there. And there's not parking for 14 people, and there's not parking for seven people that are driving cars. I don't think this, also the houses in the area are small. Mine is a bungalow, mine's next door neighbor's is a bungalow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't mind going a little larger than that, but this is too big. Also, these are some things that I've noticed. The signs for this meeting were displayed like this, laying on the ground. There are a whole bunch of them. You can leave the line on that shows that you are not able to see them from neighboring properties. And they were only up there for a little less than 2 weeks. I believe they're supposed to have them up for a month, but I'm not sure about that.
contract.
Secondly, there is some sort of a shed built on one of the other lots.
I'm sorry.
And there's someone living in the shed. There is no electricity, there is no toilet facilities, there might be plumbing, I don't know where they are.
Can you keep your comments on the microphone?
Okay. If Steve is already renting out a shed that is an improperly zoned unit, what guarantees do we have that he's going to obey it in the future, not just turn it into an apartment? Probably legal, but I don't know about that. So I would say no, make it a little smaller, and move it away from my house a little bit. Center it on the lot. I don't mind the fact that he wants to put it closer to the street. That's not an issue. I would like to see it away from my house a little bit so that I can get sunlight on that side. His structure is supposed to be like 3 stories tall. That's a little big too. If you want to make 1 story a basement, I can live with that. But this is just too big for that little tiny lot. That's all.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commissioners for the petitioner?
I guess, so my confusion is, are these the pictures of what you'd like?
No.
No, that's for the second.
Okay, that's why I was very confused. No. I apologize. I have no questions for the time being.
Anybody else? Greg?
I have a question. So multi-generation, can you explain that in a little bit more detail?
Steve, you can go, and then sure. Sarah can.
It's a beautiful location. And it being a beautiful location and me having 2 sets of parents and then step parents and my girlfriend having 2 sets of parents. We also have 5 children together, but we anticipate the children leaving sometime, as I already have 2 that have moved on, 1 that's wanted to come home. But we'd like to move our parents in. And somewhere throughout all of this, it was what if, and actually we started it, Christy and I. What if I made it like my parents lived with me, residential assisted living, and then their insurance could pay for their care? Is there any rules on that? I think we researched it and there aren't any. So just me moving my parents in potentially that way. Somewhere in all of that, multi-generational care. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, so multi-generational homes typically house more than 1 family, so it can be like a set of grandparents and then their set of children. And another set of children, so it's not where we see strangers living together as in a multi-tenant unit building. It's more so in the family, a multi-generational building.
We also had the building code official look at the plans because we didn't want this to be in the future converted into multi-tenant land use. So he reviewed the architectural plans, and there's copies in your packet, showing that although each level has some kind of self-contained portions, like multiple, there's a kitchen on each level, bathroom on each level, there is no interior barrier that would cordon off the units. So there's a continual pour. It's utilized as a house. It's no different than someone having a basement apartment for a relative in their single family home. As long as there's no separate entrance, separate utilities being pulled, then it's appropriate under our code.
Any other questions? Please.
This is a container home?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's different. Essentially, if you had several children, you would pray, as I did, to have 1 bedroom and 1 bath for every single one of them. And then I found a way to do it.
Interesting.
Anybody else?
So it sounds like, do you plan on living at that house long term? Do you have any plans on turning it into investment real estate or rentals?
No, my intention is to make it a single family home and live in it.
Anybody else? No. All right, since all public testimony regarding the petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we do that, can you ask the petitioner if they want their responses entered into the record?
Would you like your responses to our standards entered into the record?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay.
Roll call.
Roll call, please.
Okay. Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes. Okay, the public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is now closed. Seeing as there are no items under unfinished business for discussion, we'll move on to new business. New business staff, would you like to present on PZC 2024-12, 102 Worsley Street, rezoning and variance, please?
Yes, so the petitioner, Steve Holland, as he just explained, is looking to rezone his property, 102 Worsley Street, from R1 single family suburban residence district to R2 single family traditional residence district, with the intention of creating a multi-generational single family home. The parcel sits at 11,969 square feet, which is slightly smaller than the required minimum lot size of 12,000. So for that reason, he is also seeking a variance. It's important to note that the property is adjacent to Worsley Street, which is an unimproved dedicated right-of-way, and the right-of-way is located to the west of the property and is planned to connect to Gwain Lane to the north, or Gwain Lane to the north. And the petitioner is seeking to rezone this property again for the purpose of a multi-generational home, and as he just explained, it would be his parents and his girlfriend's set of parents and his own children. And additionally, the purpose of the rezoning is to have the property zoned in a way that is more applicable to the actual size of the property and to allow him to have smaller setbacks that would accommodate the design of the home. And then, as Christy just stated, we did have some concerns when we were reviewing the site plan. It did look like a multi-tenant home. So again, we had Pete Rados, the building code official, look through the plans and make sure that what Steve Holland was proposing was accurate. And per Pete Rados' comment, he said, in the case of a structure like this, the defining factor between single family and multifamily would be the interconnectivity of the spaces. In the case of this home, there's a main center staircase that interconnects all three levels and the common living areas. In my opinion, this design would not be conducive to multifamily use, but would work well for a multi-generational home. The 2018 IRC provides us with the minimal facilities required for habitable space, but it does not put a cap on the number of those minimally the required facilities per structure. I will make sure to reiterate to the owner that this is a single family home and cannot be treated as a multi-family home in any way, shape, or form. And then when I was looking around the property again, the zoning is that he is requesting is very similar to the zoning that is around him. To the north, he has R2. To the south is the Fox River. To the east is R1 single family. And to the west is R3. So although the proposed single family home is consistent with the existing surrounding zoning and land uses, the property is still requires the one variance. So again, the regulation states that the property must be 12,000 square feet. However, his site is 11,969 square feet, which is only a 31 square foot difference. And then I want to show here, it's also in the packet, but I think it's important to know that the variance needed is not a significant change to the standards, and they, as you can see here, it aligns with the character of the neighborhood as his.
No, it doesn't.
Please, sir.
Look, it's huge.
Sir, you've had your opportunity. Can you let her finish? Sorry.
As I was saying, the character of the neighborhood, just based off his setbacks, he meets these setbacks for all of the R2 zoning. The only thing that he does not meet is his lot size. But that is only a decrease of 31 square. When we are looking at the comprehensive plan, the subject's property future land use is classified as suburban neighborhoods, which is intended to create well-designed, walkable neighborhoods that incorporate open space and appropriate linkages to surrounding districts or areas. And the current land use and the proposed detached single-family home are consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan. Staff is supportive of the rezoning request, and the proposed rezoning falls in line with the standards of the R2 district, and they are consistent with the existing surrounding zoning and land uses in the area. Lastly, the proposed rezoning request is consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan as well. And then for our rezoning standards, we look at section 10A12, which is the map amendments of the Unified Development Ordinance that establishes criteria for finding of fact related to rezoning. Okay.
Yep.
And you all will go through the rezoning standards to make sure that we are in line. Other than that, that is Steve Holland's proposal.
Okay. Commissioners, you guys have anything?
I have one question. I need the findings of fact. Do we need a variance?
Yes.
Well?
Yes.
That's just rezoning.
Request for rezoning and variance.
Okay. Commissioner, just in case you notice, during it says rezoning here, but there's a rezoning and a variance in there. So anything we agree on has to be added to the final conditions of the planning and zoning. So I hope you paid attention. You following that?
Oh, yeah.
You would just need to add the variance.
The variance.
Yep.
Square footage as well.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
The one thing I was somewhat about is, what is the purpose of rezoning from R1 to R2? Is the only issue the variance that we're putting in, or I'm sorry, I might have missed that part.
Oh, he's looking because of the appropriateness for the rezoning, such as like the setbacks and the design of the home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of what's being built on it, it is 31 square feet, and we've given up a lot more as a board.
Yeah.
So
what is it, 30?
It's
Okay. And nothing else? May I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-12, 102 Worsley Street, rezoning and variance, please?
So moved.
Let's do the standards. Can you sign them?
Sure.
Wasn't prepared for that. We'll do the rezoning standards real quick. So the existing use and zoning of nearby property. Okay. The extent to which the property values are diminished by the particular zoning restrictions. I think they're increased. The extent to which the destruction of the property values of plaintiffs promotes the health, safety, morals, or general welfare of the public. The relative gain to the public as compared to the hardship imposed upon the individual property owner. The suitability of the subject property for the zoned purpose. The length of time the property has been zoned or been vacant as zoned, considered in the context of land development in the area in the vicinity of the subject property, the community need for the proposed use, and the care to which the community has undertaken to plan its land use development. All in agreement? So may I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-12, 102 Worsley Street, both rezoning and variance, please.
So moved.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
You have to have him read it.
That's fine.
What's it? He's going to read it. Okay, so the motion is approved. The next agenda item is PZC 2024-14 Grand Reserve Units 10 and 11. The petitioner DR Horton Incorp. Midwest is seeking final plat approval for approximately a 22-acre site consisting of 158 new residential townhome lots located on the east of Kennedy Road and south of the Burlington North Santa Fe Railroad in Units 10 and 11 of the Grand Reserve subdivision. It's the final plat. Will the petitioner please present on PZC 2024-14?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Steve Bauer. I am an entitlements manager and attorney with DR Horton Inc. Midwest, which is the contract purchaser of the subject property commonly known as Neighborhood 6 and 7, or Units 10 and 11 of Grand Reserve. I'm joined remotely this evening by Dave Riendow of Manhart Consulting as the project civil engineer, and Doug Shannon of Gary R. Weber & Associates as the project landscape architect. Before I proceed, may I ask, Director Parks and Noble, did you receive the PowerPoint presentation I sent earlier this evening?
I did not.
You did not?
I didn't receive it. I was probably in here, but well, we do have some slides up.
Sure. So. We can either use the slides that you have, or I'm happy to supply my computer.
There,
and the ability to connect.
You could do that. You could do that. Do you want to just join the Zoom and present, or do you want to just, do you have a thumb drive?
I do not have a thumb drive.
Okay.
Whatever is easy for you. I presume in the interest of time, probably just easier for me to just give you my computer.
Okay.
Sure.
It won't be connected to the Zoom.
Oh.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find the email.
Sorry, I presume that you had our connection.
Ah.
Nope, that's okay.
Let's see.
I think it was around 5:30 maybe? 5:30.
Yes, I can send it to, if you give me one moment, I can send it to Sarah.
Of course,
she
thank
can.
You. By the way, Mr. Chairman, I think I missed the swearing in that you did for...
Yours is not a public
yeah.
hearing.
Yeah, nope, yours is after. Nope, you're good. Nope.
Less. Okay.
There. Sarah's fantastic, by the way.
I see that.
Set up
thank
for you.
You.
And there on your dais, there's a clicker. You need to advance.
Perfect. So as I mentioned, I'm with DR Horton Inc. Midwest, which is the contract purchaser of the subject property that is the matter before you this evening. For those of you who may not be familiar with DR Horton, DR Horton is an approximately 46-year-old company that operates in 118 markets in 33 states at present. It's been in operation for 46 years, as I mentioned, and been the largest home builder by volume for the past 22 consecutive years. Nationally, the company closed over 82,000 homes in the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2023, and the Chicago division, which I'm a part of, last year closed over 1,000 homes for that same fiscal year period.
I can scroll for you.
Okay, thanks. Quickly, the Chicago division currently has a presence throughout the Chicagoland area, north from Lake County and McHenry counties, south into Will County, and then east over to the border of the state of Illinois and the state of Indiana. As you can see, also then bending into the state of Indiana and northwest Indiana, and more recently into southeast Wisconsin, as is also shown on the screen. So again, the subject property is commonly known as neighborhoods 6 and 7 or units 11 and 10, respectively, of Grand Reserve. It's bounded on the north by the BNSF railroad tracks, on the south by Grand Trail, on the east by I think it's Matlock, and on the west by Kennedy. This is a site that was master planned 21 years ago approximately with the original city's original approval of the PUD for Grand Reserve and has sat idle to date. So there are two requests before you this evening, one of which is for final plat of subdivision approval, the other of which is for architectural approval. So as it relates to the plat of subdivision approval, there are two plats before you. These are not the plats, these are the site plans, but I figured it would be easier for you to be able to visualize what's occurring. The image on the left is neighborhood 6 or unit 11. The image on the right is neighborhood 7 or unit 10. Those neighborhoods units are proposed to have 158 units in neighborhood 6, 154 in neighborhood 7, a total unit count of 312 units, with 80 of which being in the first phase, which is the subject of the neighborhood 6 plat that you're reviewing this evening, and 78 of those units being in the first phase of neighborhood 7, which again is the other plat that is the subject of your consideration this evening. One thing I want to call out that I think is particularly relevant, especially if you were to toggle back and forth between the preceding slide and this slide, is that there is substantial similarity or substantial conformance between the originally designed subdivision with respect to its street and lot layout, as well as with the product type. The left portion of the image currently displayed is neighborhood 6 or unit 11. That was contemplated 21 years ago to have a front-loaded townhome product, just as D.R. Horton currently proposes. The right portion of the image is neighborhood 7 or unit 10, and that was, again, always contemplated to have a rear-loaded townhome product, just as is proposed. So then with respect to the second component of the request before you this evening, again, being architectural consideration, before you are images of the two types of attached single-family townhomes proposed. The top image is the front-loaded product, as is obvious by the location of the garage doors. The bottom image is the rear-loaded product, meaning that the garage doors are on the rear of the homes. Again, the front-loaded product is for neighborhood 6, unit 11. The rear-loaded product is for neighborhood 7, unit 10. You can see, I won't go through all these unless you'd like me to, but you can see the various characteristics associated with these types of units. Generally ranging in a square footage of about 1,550 square feet up to about 1,800 square feet, all having 2.5 baths, bedrooms being 3 to 4, and all having 2-car garages. And then these are just larger images for your benefit, given the size of the images on the preceding slide. Given the depth of the staff report, which I presume you've all had a chance to review, I'll stop there, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any questions for the petitioner since he's up there? It's a little bit out of order, but staff.
So Steve did a great job summarizing the layout. I'll just talk to you about a little bit of nuance that we have to consider. As he mentioned, this was originally approved in 2003. So we're about 20 years later, 21 years later. But the layout is similar. The couple of things, the street name McMurtry Way is also occurring in another approved development in Bristol Bay. And so there's some concern that that street name may have to change. So that's one thing in the final plat that may change from tonight's approval going forward before recordation. So we have to consult with Kendall County and CanCom and the developer to provide a different name.
It's not a good idea.
Correct. We don't want to send emergency services to the wrong development. The original annexation agreement contemplated that the cul-de-sacs would actually, for snow plowing, be maintained by the HOAs and not the city.
So we are looking at a couple of, looks like in phase one, this will be developed in phases, Steve mentioned. Unit 11A has one cul-de-sac around McMurtry Way, and phase two of 11 has two cul-de-sacs. So phase one does not include any cul-de-sac. So unit 1A, 10A rather, does not include any cul-de-sac. So when the petitioner presented their HOA standards, which you are not voting on, but that you have, the city council has the right to review, we may comment that that is added into the declarations, that that is the HOA's responsibility. The petitioner did resubmit and took the staff's comments into consideration, so the final version of the draft HOA will be presented to city council. So we received that after packets went out. Again, with the approval of the architectural standards, the UDO has criteria for what is considered a major architectural feature, and with those you get credit against what the minimum requirements are for aesthetic facade improvements, particularly on the front facade. So there's a requirement to have 50% of the front, a premium material, masonry, or premium siding, but the petitioner is allowed to get 10% credit for every major architectural features that they present. So in the Portsmouth version, in your packet, the reason why you have these printouts in front of you, in your packet, that was an older version of the layout the petitioner provided, an updated. So the black and white drawing is correct in your packet. It's just the color image was wrong. So we're going to update that packet material for city council. But they still got 30% credit because they had dormers and covered porches and boxed out projections. And those are highlighted in various colors in your packet. And the same for the Richmond, which is also referred to as the Seaboard townhome series. The picture does not show the stone veneer on the front going all the way up to the window sash, but it does show it in the black and white. So we'll update those before they go to city council. Other than that, the city engineer did have comments in a couple of rounds of reviews. We're asking that those be added to the motion, that they would meet the standard, the recommendations from the engineer. Petitioner has not expressed any concern with those review comments, and we're confident that they will be revised prior to final plat recordation. So it's in the motion that it's subject to review comments by the city engineer, and staff is supportive of this. Also, this will be coming back to city council for establishment of a dormant SSA.
Commissioners, you guys have anything? No? Great.
Question. So is that a dormant SSA? Did they reestablish the SSA?
No, this is different. This is for common areas. Say if the HOA fails to continue to maintain areas where it is disbanded, the city then can step in and take over the maintenance of those common areas, and then on the tax roll at Blair, they can recoup what you would be paying to the HOA, basically, you'd be paid on your real estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dormant, it's not an active SSA.
Because I'm guessing there was an SSA, it was established almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost up by now.
Sure.
And all SSAs in that regard were done for payment of public infrastructure.
Streets.
This is for maintenance of common
sure.
areas.
Right. Big difference in streets and sewers. Okay, anybody else? All right, we have a motion to approve PZC 2024-14 Grand Reserve Units 10 and 11. This is the final plat.
So moved.
Second.
Can I get somebody to read the motion, please?
Yep, I got it. In consideration of the proposed final plat of subdivision of Grand Reserve Units 10A and 11A, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plats to the City Council as presented by petitioner in plans prepared in Manhart Consulting, LTD, dated last revised 04-29-2024, and also subject to review comments provided by the City Engineer, EEI, Inc., dated April 12, 2024 and June 12, 2024.
April 16th.
Sorry, I meant that. April 16th, 2024, and June 12th, 2024, for the review comments provided by the city engineer, EEI, Inc.
And the appearance?
That's not included. They'd be the elevations. You're approving the architectural.
So are we adding in that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So basically, you would be including in the elevations and appearance as presented by staff.
And what was there a date on that?
We're going to say presented during the hearing. That way, we'll have the most updated version.
And further subject to the elevations and appearance as presented in the PTC hearing, July 10, 2024, by your local staff. That cover all bases?
You did. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
All right, the motion is approved. Under additional business, is there any additional business you would like to update us on?
Yes. Hello, I'm Alexandra Sandoval, the Community Development Department summer intern. There were three items on last month's PCC agenda which staff would like to update the commission on city council action. PCC 2024-7 Kalaka LLC and PCC 2024-8 Hagen Trust rezoning. Based on the recent feedback, the city council will conduct an additional public hearing on the annexation request at their July 23rd meeting. It is anticipated that both the annexation and rezoning request will be considered for a vote at the August 13th city council meeting. Additionally, the PCC 2024-15 C1 Yorkville LLC PUD and preliminary PUD plan was approved at last night's city council meeting.
Awesome. Thank you and welcome back. All right. Anything else? That's it? All right. Seeing as there's nothing further on tonight's agenda, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 7:42.